on air, WICC 600, online, WICC600.com. Let's stimulate your brain with the Lisa Wexler Show.
Wayne, before we get to Wayne Winston and talk about race, Wayne, I got to just tell you this breaking story. At least 17 anesthesiologist residents and a fellow at one of the premier university hospital systems in Florida got COVID-19 earlier this month after they all went to a private party together. Wayne,
oh,
can
man.
You believe this? Can you believe this? Oh, 18 man, anesthesiologists, man. Doctors in Florida who should know better gathered together at a private party and they all got sick. That's unbelievable. What were they doing? What were they kissing each other, playing spin the bottle? What were they doing? They all got COVID?
Unbelievable.
What were they comparing respirator masks? I mean, what were they doing? That they all got sick? That's insane. That's the Miami Herald. They just reported that. What a crazy story.
Well, that shows you how irresponsibly crazy even if people who are supposed to be smart can be.
That's exactly what it shows you.
There's a crazy thing online that's being passed around that the cure is, the whole chloroquine thing is come back, hydroxychloroquine. That there's a black doctor and she's standing amongst a number of white doctors, and it's going like fire. I even got it sent to myself, and I had to send some corrections out that this is not the flu. That stuff is real and it's killing people, but people are buying into it. And, the president talked about it a little bit yesterday. He didn't know who she was. But this whole thing is insane because people want some kind of magic button, and there's not. The things that work is what we did here in Connecticut very successfully. And if Florida doesn't figure it out, these other states, they're going to have a significant problem. And I did want to just say it was great to hear Fran's voice. We miss her in the school system. She's an amazing school superintendent.
Really?
So I did want to share. Oh, without a doubt. And
it's my first chance talking to her because I looked up this organization, the head of superintendents, and she was so kind. She responded to me within minutes when I sent her, an email. But I didn't know her at all. It's the first time we've spoken. And she certainly sounds so knowledgeable. I'm glad to hear that she left Bridgeport with a good reputation intact. That's not always the case with superintendents. They are the first ones to get blamed for a lot of things.
Well, I can't say she didn't get blamed for a lot of stuff, but she's a great superintendent.
It's hard to be a superintendent. I think Greenwich has had like 20 in 20 years. It's unbelievable how many superintendents they have in Greenwich. They can't keep anybody for more than a year. It's incredible what goes on there. It's a really hard job. It's a really, really hard job.
Well, there's so many topics today, but, our thing is race, and this is so important right now because there's so much confusion going on, and that the police bill is not a total removal of qualified immunity. And people that are saying that are misinforming people as well. I understand law enforcement's part. They've been able to do what they wanted to do for a long time. Most police officers are great, and they love their jobs. So we always have to go to that disclaimer because they put the tag on and say, oh, you're against police. Well, the police, unfortunately, departments, and it's a combination of the two, when you protect the good police, you protect the bad ones too. And that's what the problem was in the system, and that's what qualified immunity and some of the other accountability things are that they have going on. George Floyd should never happen. These things that we see so much as black people are tearing our hearts apart. They're tearing our homes apart. George Floyd is a human being, and when you're not treating it as such, black people have been fighting just for equality, nothing else, not a free hand or anything else. Just we deserve a day in court. If you think we did something and you follow the right things and you give us our constitutional rights, you'll do what you do. But the things that are happening, there's so many black men killed by police officers, which triggered this whole thing, that just put a search in. Man
so
shot by police.
So let's talk about this. Oh, hold on, Wayne, the chipmunk is back. Hold on, Wayne, the chipmunk is back in my garden. I cannot, hold on.
I love the chipmunk
part. Can you believe the chutzpah of this chipmunk? Oh, He's at it. And I just sprayed garlic. I just sprayed garlic all over the plants. Clearly didn't do anything. I'm going to have to get in there. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm so distracted by the chipmunk eating my tomatoes. All right, so I know the important things. So let's, but getting back to this bill that passed along partisan lines and is now being accused of being rushed through, you know, I was, I don't know if you got to hear Police Chief Fody Kassinis on. He's hardly an alarmist, and he has a very good reputation with his own community here in Westport, which is not exclusively white, but certainly majority so, but not exclusively so. And he was one of the first police chiefs after George Floyd to really come to the community and say that on behalf of police officers everywhere, this person shouldn't have been a cop. So when he says that he's concerned that in real life he's going to lose some of his better police officers because their perception is that the people are against police now and that their own personal property and wealth are at risk. You know, I took that very seriously because he's not an alarmist and he's not a fearmonger. It's not what he does. And I think that that has to be, we have to consider that too. We're going to have to see how this plays out, Wayne. We're going to have to see how this plays out.
Well, the police departments at the same time have not offered any solutions themselves beyond, okay, we'll train them better. Geez, that's a couple of bad apples, which is the what they say across the country. Well, bad apples taking lives are unacceptable, especially over a continuous basis. Most of these police officers, they even have records when you track them that they've been reprimanded for all these things. So the system that's built to protect the innocent police are still in place, as the bill even says. But they are vulnerable now to lawsuits and even not having the protection of the city when you are found to do something completely negligent and absolutely should be held accountable, such as Chauvin out there standing on this man's neck. You know, normally that would happen, and he would just get a slap on the wrist, or you'd go through the whole process with Eric Garner, I Can't Breathe. We've seen this so many times. I have to commend every place across this country that's trying to change this. And remember, these are young people that are out there marching, and they're white and they're black, and they're supporting this. I understand law enforcement, but once again, we haven't heard a solution to that beyond training. And that becomes the problem because we're trying to save people's lives.
I don't think that that's true. I think that some of the solutions are not just training. That one of the solutions is decertifying people. So that's a specific accountability. I think that there are other solutions like banning chokeholds. For example, the police chief didn't like that, but that's another solution. But he really thought the biggest solution, and this, by the way, is an unfunded mandate in many places, is for having more cameras. He thinks that that's the biggest and best deterrent to bad behavior altogether. And he also objected to lumping in Connecticut and Connecticut's record as a whole with a lot of other police departments around the country. I mean, obviously, I don't think Connecticut is perfect, and there definitely are at least a handful of cases in the last 20 years. You had the attorney, the DA in Gail, you know, the one in Hartford, she just lost her position, I think, publicly reprimanded. She didn't lose her position, publicly reprimanded for not having dealt properly enough with allegations of police brutality from cases a long time ago. So I wouldn't say Connecticut is blameless. But there is an objection to putting Connecticut in with Minneapolis, for example. You know, it's not the same.
Well, but that's where the laws are. I mean, it's, the laws are about prevention across the board. You don't have to wait for something like that to happen.
Right.
Go,
I agree. So, you shouldn't have to wait. But, you know, I look, right now, on the bigger scale, we're chatting with Wayne Winston at 203-333-9422. There's something bigger that's going on right now, even than what Connecticut just did in the legislature. And that is that the Republicans and Democrats, particularly the Republicans, are aiming the entire November election at law and order. And they're using the George Floyd protesters, some of which turned into riots and rioters in the evening, but a lot of which did not. They're using this as an overlay to argue that if you don't elect Republicans, then you're not going to have basic law and order in the streets. Do you see that happening as well, Wayne Winston, in the sort of bigger political issue right now? Because that's what I see looming towards November.
There's no question that the strategy is the fear mongering. That happened all the way back to, you know, back to Reagan. You know, right now we've got a country that is very sympathetic to what has been going on with race and racism during all of these years. George Floyd was a shock to the system, and that's why they're, you know, changing the flags and the Redskins, $690 billion threatened to be pulled from the Redskins if they didn't change their name, which included Amazon and so on. People on the other side don't like that. You know, the people who don't want things to change are still in the same place, and they know that fear is a very powerful tool and has worked very effectively in the white community. That's what the whole situation is that's always been strategically of how the race issue says you have to be protected from black people. This is why we need police at the borders. This is why we have to look at them extra. This is why we have to follow them around the store. This is why we have to do these things, because they're not trustworthy. We don't know what they're going to do. And that worked with the Willie Horton
thing
years back.
Very effective.
Now,
right.
They're trying to do this again with
they
this
are.
Generation, but there's more resistance, but there's also more opportunities like the internet. So that's why when you start to see things that have to do with saying black people are someone to be afraid of, that's what we've been fighting the whole time. That's what has been able to for a lot of white Americans to look the other way, because they had to do something or else the policemen would have never arrested them. This had to do something or those stories would have never happened, because there's different policing in the black community than there is in the white community. And most policemen who did that crazy thing, probably if you talk to Derek Chauvin's friends, he's one of the best guys in the world. But somewhere in there, he had a problem with black people. And that's part of why these bills and the things like it are important. So if you're an officer and you're not doing those things, then you're going to be okay anyway, because we need them to do their job. And we need them to arrest the kids who shoot our children in the street, or the ones who are just out of control and doing the things that they're doing wrong like any other criminal, black or white. You don't have to separate them at all. We'll be the first ones out there behind you. But when you arrest or deal with a black person, if you preconceive that you have to somehow put them down, that's a problem. And I know for a fact, Lisa, that my story is no different than anybody else's. A black man cannot question a white police officer, why did you stop me? Because that becomes an affront to him, because there's an acceptance of his community from that psychology that these types of officers we're talking about, not all of them, but the ones that we're talking about, say, I'm not going to accept that from you as a black or brown person, but I would accept that from a white man who is my equal. Racism is real, and it kills, and it hurts people, and it hurts us in all kinds of different ways. And I see America trying to change that. This is part of it. So if you're an attorney, you can be disbarred. If you're a doctor, you can be sued for malpractice. The only place that you really can't, and I've thought hard about this, and maybe someone else knows somewhere else, the police department is pretty much the only place where you could really hurt someone very bad, injure them, and then there's not a repercussion after you go through a whole process, because that officer can be put right back on the street, even if he kills someone, and the information is there. So that's why this is needed. And I know it's painful, and if something needs to be tweaked, let's talk about that. But clearly the Republicans are running a campaign of fear, and they're hoping that these things reach white Americans and makes them feel the same way. That's why we can't support Black Lives Matters, because all lives matter, because blue lives matter. But show me again where you see all of the white men who are being shot and killed under any circumstance, being beaten beyond recognition. And these are people who are unarmed. These are
we're
people
chatting
who...
with Wayne Winston. We're talking about race, 203-333-9422. So what I'm suggesting, you know, because I'm a very pragmatic person, Wayne.
Yes.
And we don't know each other all that long, but I really am a very pragmatic person. And I'm always looking for nuance, right? So I'm never going to be considered a radical. It's not in my nature. So I'm thinking to myself, well, I had Gail Eviel on, who's a Republican, and she would have been willing, she said it and I take her at her word, that she would have voted to pass the police accountability bill last Friday night had it not had this qualified immunity thing in it, which really stuck in her craw and caused her to vote no. And I believe people like Jonathan Steinberg, who was one of 17 Democrats who ended up voting with the Republicans 72-72 last Friday, also who felt that this qualified immunity, from their point of view, by the way, both of these legislators thought that in reality, what we were going to be doing is passing the buck to municipalities and hiking insurance premiums and not necessarily getting at the core root of what you're talking about, but rather passing the blame and passing the buck sideways on communities that can ill afford more insurance premiums. And I'm thinking to myself how much better it would have been for the people of Connecticut and how much less of a wedge issue it could be in terms of race if this bill could have been passed bipartisan. And that's where you have people, and you may not want to hear this, but this is the buzz in the white community, because I like to hear from you the buzz in the black community.
Sure.
So the buzz in the white community is, you know, they had a great argument, the big they in the sky. They had a great argument, and they took it too far. They had to go one step too far. If they had just asked for something that everybody had a consensus on, we would have been good. But now they had to go too far. Now there's a wedge issue, right? So now, instead of going back to George Floyd and the idea of bringing in excessive brutality, now all of a sudden all the conversation is about retaining and getting good police officers to protect everyone. Why do the big they always have to take it one step too far? And I'm a compromiser. I would have liked to have seen complete bipartisan approval of that police accountability statute.
Well, here's the thing. What they're leaving out of the discussion is that that's what the court system is for, to cycle through all that and to make sure that these individual situations meet a certain criteria, you know, of maliciousness, indifference, you know, the legal terms, so all of those things.
Yep.
That it wasn't
willful,
just
wanted,
something
all that stuff. Yep.
That you
yep.
had a chance to not do this. And if you are caught doing it and you are proven to do it, not an accusation, you've gone through the system, because these are laws and statutes. If you can convince a jury mm-hmm. that with the psychology that most people have, they're going to give the policeman a benefit of the doubt.
If I think that's
the
true.
The jury is convinced
you're right.
yep. that you did this, then there has to be a repercussion, and you should be open to that, rather than it's like, well, we'd like to do something with him, but, you know, he's protected and he gets to go back on the job.
I see.
Or become a policeman somewhere else.
Well, I do believe that in the end, this is exactly going to wash out in the courts. But I also, as a pragmatist and as a lawyer, know that there are a lot of suits that will never make it that far, that there are a lot of things that will be filed what we call nuisance lawsuits. And there will be some more costs that are imposed upon some police departments and communities that are ill afford to be able to absorb it. But that is where we are. But we are here, you and I, Wayne, and we have to go. We'll have to come back and do this some more. But we're here to have this honest, frank conversation, and I appreciate it.
And I appreciate all the listeners. Please join us every Wednesday. You know, I know it's a plug, 11:30. But this is all about building trust back to the community, because these laws, the black community has been hurt for decades and centuries, yeah. histories yeah. with this thing. And yeah. right now, America's trying to fix it. So that's what this is about, making yeah. sure that there's finally a tool of accountability. So it might be harsh to others, but if it saves one life, I mean, how much is that worth to anybody anywhere who's thinking of justice and the right thing?
Thank you very much, Wayne. Winston, we'll be back next Wednesday to talk about this some more at 11:30. But, of course, we'll also be back behind the mic tomorrow on the Lisa Wexler Show. Paul Pacelli with Connecticut Today from 2 to 6, and Clark Howard up from noon to 2 here on WICC. Thanks, Wayne. Have a great day.
Thank you. And good luck with the chipmunk.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll try. Okay. All right. We'll be back behind the mic tomorrow.